Wealth isn't just about money. It's about the life you build and the legacy you leave behind. Welcome to Money Sense, where we've spent over 30 years helping people make confident decisions that reflect their values and build lasting impact. Hi, I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. Join us as we explore how true wealth comes from aligning your money, your health, and your story with what matters most. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we have a great guest today. My guest is Annalee Krueger, and she is the owner and founder of CareRight, senior care and dementia consultant. She's also a keynote speaker, and she's written an absolutely fabulous book, The Invisible Patient. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But Annalee, it's been a little bit of a while since we've had an opportunity to talk. And one of the things that I always enjoy doing, especially after the holidays, and we've had Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and so many kids are with their parents and recognizing things that they might not have seen in a while. And let's just talk a little bit about that. And, you know, and parents struggle with that idea of, how do I bring something like this up and how do I talk about it? So let's just talk about that issue right off the bat.
That piece, yeah. So since this is going to be published after the holidays and a lot of the adult kids are getting back to work after probably visiting their parents and maybe they were blindsided about some of the things they saw, they heard, or they smelled at their parents' house, indicating that maybe mom or dad aren't doing quite as well at home as everyone had hoped or everyone had thought. So some of the warning signs that I see or the red flags of your parent or your loved one that indicates that they're not doing as well as you would hope are pretty obvious. Weight loss, which you wouldn't notice if you only call your parent every, you know, however often. That's why I always encourage, you know, try to do a Zoom or a Facebook, you know, video or FaceTime so you can actually see them and just kind of gauge how do they look, how's their color, do they look like they've lost weight. So one thing is weight loss. Number two is when you go and you visit your parent and you kind of peek in the pantry or peek in the refrigerator, you might be a little bit surprised that maybe they aren't eating as well as you hoped, or that they're eating food that's expired or spoiled and they don't notice that because maybe they don't have good vision, or maybe they're having memory impairment issues where they just don't think about, oh, this doesn't look good anymore, like hamburger not looking good anymore. Or maybe they were just also from that generation where you eat it no matter what.
and you take all the leftovers home.
And if you just cook it long enough, whatever bacteria is in there, it'll get burned out. I'm like, no, that's not how we have to do things anymore. That was depression era mindset, but that's not how we have to live anymore. And so, so weight loss, bruises, you know, unexplained bruises on their arms, their legs. I know in the winter months for those of you up north, it's kind of hard to look at their arms and legs because they're probably covered in sweaters and fleece, whereas us Floridians are short sleeves and shorts all year long. But like just trying to figure out how you can maybe check their skin, because if there's bruises, that's going to indicate obviously something's happening. Either they're falling. If they have care coming in that maybe they aren't being treated properly, maybe they're being abused. Just do know, though, that some medications like blood thinners do cause older people to bruise easier than normal. Other indicators that parents or your loved one are not doing well are obvious things like hospitalizations, repeat urinary tract infections, repeat urgent care or ER visits. And it's possible that your parents are not telling you about these things because they don't want you to worry. But also in the back of their mind, they're afraid of, well, if my kids know that I'm not doing very well at home, they're going to want to put me in a nursing home, when there are all sorts of other different kinds of options. Other indicators that things aren't going well, look around the car, like do a walk around of the car. Are there new dents, dings? Things, you know, like are they up to date on their insurance, on their little sticker, on their license plate? So those are some examples. And then having the conversation about, and this is the tricky part that we'll get into next, is memory issues. So if your parents didn't recognize your kids or weren't sure of who you were and you're their adult child, obviously there's some memory issues happening that you may not have been fully aware of. So holiday time can be a good time to broach these topics and say, oh my gosh, you know, what challenges are you having at home, mom and dad? Are you able to get up off the toilet safely? Is your furniture the right height? Are you having some falls? I noticed a couple bruises. You know, tell me about what's happening, you know, here on your day-to-day basis. What is your routine? When do you go to bed at night? When do you wake up? You know, what are you eating throughout the day? So having some of these conversations. If you're the Ethel and the Marvin, the parents, and you're like, hey, we want to get ahead of this. We don't want to be a burden to our kids, because that's what usually parents' goals are, is they want to age in place at home and they don't want to be a burden on their kids. If you're the mom and dad listening to this podcast and you're trying to tell your kids, look, we're having some challenges at home and I think we need some help. Kids, my message to you is don't try to hush them. Don't try to stop the conversation and be like, I don't want to talk about this. You look like you're doing fine. You know, when any party of the family wants to have these conversations, keep at it. Don't discourage it, because that's the problem, is usually someone in the family notices that there's some issues that they're concerned about and they get squelched by their other family members. They're like, we don't want to talk about it. And that boils down to denial.
You know, a couple other things, Annalee, is that I have noticed in talking with clients, it's two things from a financial advisor's perspective, is that first of all, that parents cover up for each other.
They sure do.
Husband and wives cover up for each other.
They sure
and
do.
So you don't quite always get the exact idea. And what we can find is that when we're working with a client, we can notice things that are happening, memory loss, each covering up for each other. And we have a form that our clients can fill out that if we notice anything different, we can call one of the adult children or someone else. And I highly recommend for children to think about that, because if there is a notice, sometimes we're the first ones to notice, because we get that call 3-4 times a week asking the same question. And, but we also noticed that in talking to our clients that there is a cover-up that can often happen between clients, between husband and wife, because they've lived so long together and they just, it becomes their new normal.
Right, right. And I have to say too, Karen, that your firm is and always has been incredibly forward-thinking. You have been doing family meetings. You have been aware of dementia. You have been aware of kind of how it is to age. You see this with your clients and you don't back away from trying, you know, of having these different conversations. I mean, you even have a process in place that says, hey, look, if we, you know, who's your safety contact, or who's your contact person that if we notice something, you know, going awry or have some concerns, who could, you know, a lot of companies don't even do that. So just a good hats off and a pat you on the back for having that forward-thinking mindset that I wish all financial advisors had. And so if your advisor, you know, if your advisor isn't talking to you about aging and family caregiving or dementia and bringing up these topics, you may want to think about, you know, switching to, you know, to a company that does, like Karen.
You know, Annalee, the other thing that I would say that I've noticed too is that sometimes, if it's particularly a single parent on their own, and I've noticed more often that it's been women than men, is that they often order a lot of things on TV.
Yes.
And they're lonely and they don't have anyone to talk to them. And, you know, we're all getting this spam stuff.
Yeah.
And parents, we've had so many parents get spammed and give money and do things like that. And so I think it's a really important thing. And maybe you can talk just a little bit about what you're seeing and how families can deal with that.
Very much the same thing. And you know, even I mean, it's not even the seniors. I mean, these hackers and spammers, they're just, I don't understand. Like, it blows my mind that they can't use their superpower for good. It's destructive, right? Like, if I was tech savvy like that, I would be making this world a better place. And so how you can safeguard yourself and safeguard your parents are having these conversations, leverage this podcast and say, you know, this podcast had a lot of nuggets in it that we as a family haven't really had a conversation about, and that maybe we need to start having some conversation, because it is only a matter of time before any of us get hacked or spammed, right? And so how you can start these conversations, leverage this podcast, say, you know what, we all are at risk. That way your parents don't feel like you're kind of teaming up on them, right? Or being singled out. Let's put some safety features in place. Some things that you can do are, you know, having the conversations about, you know, mom and dad or whoever it is that you might be taking care of is, or if you're the mom and dad, say, hey, you know, just for a quality assurance, you can tell I come from business, right? From a quality assurance background or from a quality assurance perspective or just a safety perspective, let's like quarterly keep an eye on your account. Let me just kind of check through to make sure everything looks like it's on par, because you want to catch these things sooner rather than later. And maybe quarterly isn't often enough. Maybe it needs to be weekly or monthly. You know what your parents, or you might know what your parents spend money on and which accounts or which bills come out of which accounts. You can also do things like freeze the credit, check your credit report on a regular basis once a year. You can freeze credit so that if your parents do get hacked or scammed, then at least you get notified and they can't do too much damage. You can notify the bank, like, you know, make sure that the bank has your power of attorney documents, or some of the banks have their own documents so that you can be listed on the bank account so that you can have access and just kind of check and just double check to make sure that things look like they are how they should be. But you can also put alerts on those accounts, and you can put text or email or phone call alerts. So if more than $200 was spent, you get notified. You can also limit credit card use, you know, credit card available credit or debit cards too, so that if you're like, okay, mom and dad, what do you think would be a good number, like $200 or $500? And that way you're not chaperoning their checkbook, but you're just there as a safety measure. So those are some different ideas. And then just having the conversations, like we need to just stay on top of this so you're protected.
I think too, Annalie, that's one thing that I've often suggested to my clients, to say to their parents, I'm in the process of doing this myself, and I thought you might want to know. And that's a really, we'll just touch on it a second. It's a really good idea. You talked about powers of attorney for finance, and there's powers of attorney for healthcare, looking at their estate planning documents, because once they have any type of signs of dementia or that, they can't do them any longer. And so you want to make sure they're up to date. And if one of your parents have passed away, that you've taken off the spouse, because we see that a lot, right, where the spouses are still on there. And if they're having trouble, you can be automatically work with the attorney and put yourself in as a co-trustee. Mm-hmm. So there are things that are so important. So sitting down with Annalie, or sitting down with your advisor, sitting down with the attorney, having a family meeting, I think is really the key to having that communication open, especially when you're not right here seeing your family members. You know, Annalie, let's take a quick break. My guest today is Annalie Krueger. She is the owner and founder of CareRight, a senior care and dementia consultant, a keynote speaker, and an author. As I said earlier, she wrote a great book, The Invisible Patient, The Emotional, Financial, and Physical Toll on Family Caregivers. We're going to take a quick break. Sure. And with that, we'll be right back.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and the senior wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. And you know, Anna Lee, we're celebrating our 30th year.
That's amazing. Congratulations. I know.
And it's like 36 years on doing Money Sense. And now we've gone to these podcasts and it's fun because, you know, we've always been about education. Mm-hmm. And this really allows us even a little bit more of an opportunity without all those crazy commercials in there that we can have a much steadier flow. So, yeah, I can't believe it.
So you and I met about 15 years in, because yes. We've known each other about 15 to 18 years, because yes. I started my company, CareRight, in 2011, and you were one of the first financial services professionals that I met within my first year of starting my company. So
we've known
each other a long time.
A long time. And you know, that brings back a long time, because I know you've been dealing with your mom and dad, and your mom passed, and of course, both of my parents passed. And boy, that caregiving route was just grueling. Fine. And one of the things that I noticed, and I would like you to focus on a little bit, is my dad was the first to get sick, and I am not going to a nursing home, and I want to stay at home. Mm-hmm. And they were very private, and they didn't have a ton of money. And my dad insisted that we do the caregiving for him. Mm-hmm. And without even realizing it, number one, we were his caregivers and we were actually doing hospice and we didn't even know it. We did eventually get some caregivers in there to help us. And they did things that we looked and said, oh my God, that would have been so much easier than the way we were doing it. And sure. Almost put our parents at risk because my father insisted and we didn't know. There were four of us. We rotated our times. I remember working all day and sleeping there at night and getting up in the morning and going to work and just being foggy. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. I think you often call it caregiver burnout.
It's caregiver burnout, caregiver fatigue. It's kind of the same thing. So let's talk about real life. So the reality is that despite my best efforts, I still have not come up with the magic words to get people to plan ahead, right? So 92% of our families come to us as overwhelmed, burned out, angry, resentful, just done caregivers, because they're like, look, caregiving has derailed my career, my business, my finances, my marriage, my relationships with my friends, my emotional health, my physical health, and just as importantly, my relationship with the care recipient, right? And so 58% of us adult kids get thrust into caregiving to aging loved ones without ever having any kind of family meeting to discuss the what when's. And so when we talk about that caregiver snowball, you know, it's one thing if you know, what happened with my caregiver story is my mom had mild cognitive impairment, a dementing illness. That's one of the reasons why in 2011, when I started CareRight, I went virtual using Skype to help families navigate all this aging and caregiving and dementia, because my own mother had she had early onset dementia, and I needed to be as actively involved, and I wanted to be as actively involved in my own parents' aging. And so that required me, instead of driving back and forth from, you know, Milwaukee to Iowa every week, I was like, I've got to just be virtual. And plus, by then, the market had changed. Adult kids don't live down the street from their parents, you know. So I was like, oh, well, it's a win-win. I can help families no matter where they live, and I can be attentive to my parents. But when you're talking about, you know, caregiving to someone with a broken hip is different than caregiving to someone who has a chronic 30-year disease, like someone who has Alzheimer's or dementia. A broken hip in 6, 8, 10 weeks, hopefully they're back on track and kind of back on baseline. But that doesn't mean that that's easy either, right? Because maybe you're an engineer or not a healthcare professional, and all of a sudden you're having to do, like, you know, leg wound care or change bandages. And you're like, I am not a nurse. Or you find yourself having to set up medications and coordinating doctor's appointments. And you see how long that takes, because all of that stuff has to be done during your business hours, right? You have to call the doctor's office. You have to call the therapy clinic. You have to call the pharmacy. And so you find out how time consuming that is. And then also when you get that crisis call that, you know, your mom is in the hospital, she has a broken hip, and they're like, who's the power of attorney? Where's all this documentation? And you're like, I don't know. We've never talked about it. So that's how kind of that happens. It progresses very quickly and it gets very overwhelming. And you have to take time off work or step away from your business. But if you've got someone that you're taking care of who has like an Alzheimer's or a long disease, Parkinson's, MS, you know, a dementing illness, it can last 20 or 30 years. Yes, 20 or 30 years. That's a whole different ball game. Still stressful in all those beginning stages. But as that dementia progresses, your loved one will need 24/7 care and supervision, even though, because I want to make sure that people understand this, because they're always like, well, mom can take care of herself. She, you know, she showers and she walks. Well, okay, but she's not taking her medicine. She's leaving the oven on. She's letting strangers into the house. She's getting lost when she drives. She's showing up for doctor's appointments that she doesn't have. So there's a lot of misunderstanding and
communication in a way.
Communication, if you will, because they don't understand the disease. And unfortunately, in my healthcare space, doctors are notorious for saying, oh, you have mild cognitive impairment, or you have dementia, or you have Parkinson's, and good luck to you. There's no like, now let's take you by the hand and let's help you understand the disease. Let's help you understand what's coming down the pike for your family, your loved one, you as caregivers, and the finances. So that's what we do. I just call it aging planning because no one else is doing it. So it's sad that since 2011, and even prior to that, when I was managing continuing care retirement communities and meeting with families, I've yet to work with a family who actually understands dementia. They haven't been educated on it. There's tons of free resources, but the reality is, like the Alzheimer's Association is free, but the reality is between denial and then by the time family realizes that their parent or their spouse is in trouble because they got lost or they almost burnt the house down, they don't have time to now be like, oh, I better learn about this dementia. What is this dementia, right? So that's when they come to us in crisis.
And there's so, different types of dementia. It's not just one.
There's all sorts of different types of dementia. And so, it just depends on what kind of dementia your loved one has and kind of what that treatment is going to be and what that journey is going to look like. And so we need to safeguard and protect the family caregiver because we know that not everybody is cut out to be a caregiver. You know, not everybody has time to be a caregiver, you know, but when you get that crisis call, no matter how busy you are with your own family, with your career, with your own health issues, guess what? When you get that crisis call that mom had a stroke and she's the caregiver to dad who has Alzheimer's, guess what? You put everything you have and need to do on the back burner because now they become the priority. And in time, if you don't have an aging plan, you will get overwhelmed, burned out. And then how do you want to remember the last few years of your parents' lives? Angry, resentful, bitter, then feel guilty for feeling that way? Or do you want to be like, hey, you know what? We as a family, we're going to work this out. And here's what our aging plan looks like. And that's what we help families with.
Do you know, I want to just bring up something that's a little bit off the beaten path here, but I've had it happen so often, Annalee, is that I have parents who have a child living with them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And the parents are getting sick or dementia or ill. And then there's been no planning around that other child that's staying there that is there for a reason because they also need help. Can you talk a little bit about that particular situation that parents and families have to deal with? And then there's always this disparity between the child living there and the other children.
Correct. That's a loaded topic. So a lot of my clients, you know, my clients, the whole family, but a lot of them, you know, in their 80s and 90s and 100 years old, they might have a Down syndrome, now adult child, right? But
yes,
has always lived with them because they have Downs, you know, they need they have the special needs that require that they can't live by themselves. And so mom and dad didn't institutionalize them. They always kept them at home. Well, now that mom and dad are getting frail or demented or sick, now we have, you know, we've got Johnny who needs now a plan and he's never lived on his own. He's always lived with his parents. And so there's so many different considerations. There's so many different nuances, like just special needs planning. Who's going to be Johnny's guardian? Where is Johnny going to live if mom and dad end up having to go into assisted living or into a memory care facility or into, you know, a nursing home? Who's going to be responsible for Johnny? And where are mom and dad going to live? If Johnny isn't old enough, he can't move into a care facility with his parents because he won't, he likely might not have the financial resources to financially qualify. So if mom and dad have resources, financial resources, and they can qualify to get into, you know, like a continuing care retirement community, but if Johnny doesn't have those same resources, or he's not going to meet their criteria, the admission criteria, then that's when they end up in usually like a group home. And that's a hard, hard adjustment for mom and dad. And it's a very hard adjustment for Johnny because nothing has been planned out. And now everybody's in crisis and it's a really emotional roller coaster.
That financial planning is so critical.
It's key, yeah.
To put in place when there is a special needs situation. Because the other thing that most people don't realize, they figure, well, maybe they're on some type of Social Security or some plan, but the minute they inherit money, they're off of it.
They're off of it.
There's, and you can talk to that because you've dealt with that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, that's exactly what happens because parents thought because they didn't work with a professional or a professional that knew what they were doing. Right. And so if mom and dad, if Ethel and Marvin have Johnny and mom and dad have all this money and they're like, okay, well, we've got Johnny and then we have Sally and Sally is married and has her own family and her own life. And so, but they still have Johnny as the beneficiary. And so that kicks when parents pass away and he gets the inheritance, that kicks him off of all of these programs that can take months to years to qualify for. And so that's why, you know, if you're in this situation where you have a special needs child, you've got to plan ahead now and work with a professional who actually knows what they're doing so that the financial planning doesn't jeopardize their ability to stay on Social Security or, you know, disability. And so that's a big challenge that I see often, and I can't undo it, right? I can't fix that because I'm not an attorney and I'm not a financial advisor, but all I can do is help them find community living that is going to meet their needs from a care perspective. But that's why, you know, that's why when we do these podcasts, it's all about working with professionals who are not working in silos, right? We want financial advisors, we want legal, and we want people like us. We need to start working as a team, and you and I do that. But a lot of companies don't do that. A lot of financial advisors don't do that. A lot of attorneys don't do that. They just kind of work in their silos. And then that's why our clients, our families, have the poor outcomes that they have because their providers aren't working with others and as a collaborative team approach. And it hurts the families.
And I think a lot of that is having that relationship with your advisors so that you can have these tough conversations because they're not easy conversations.
Correct.
And I know that when we sit down with families, we have attorneys that we work with that specialize in different areas that we can bring in and that a family can talk to at least to get some really strong guidance. I mean, when you think about it, if you're getting a divorce, you go to an attorney. You're not going to do it on your own because you don't want to make a mistake. It's just as important when you're dealing with these family issues to know that this is critical information and you don't want to make a mistake because often just what you said, you can't undo that mistake.
You can't undo. And when families try to do all of this kind of aging planning on their own or special needs planning on their own because they don't know what they don't know, they make very dangerous mistakes. And they make very expensive mistakes that can't always be undone. And so, you know, that's, you know, asking neighbor Joe what they did in their situation or asking ChatGPT or asking, you know, someone who doesn't have any experience in this type of all these nuances, you're going to have those types of outcomes that it just makes sense.
You know, Annalee, I was thinking about something the other day that when you're under pressure, it's really hard to make good decisions. Fear will override your faith. Fear will override logic. Fear will override so many things. And so often families are put into that position. Mm-hmm. And we'll just talk a little bit about family dynamics. Let's take a break, and then let's come back and talk about the really difficult part of it is, of course, the cost of caregiving.
Yeah.
But we see that families can't always agree. And what maybe was happening as children, the disparity between kids or one kid getting more than the other. I mean, there's so many kids keep tracked, you know, they really do. They keep inventory of what's happened and what hasn't. And I know even in our own family, my sister, because she was retired, was made the power of attorney for healthcare. And at the point that my mother really wanted to go and it was and she was in a healthcare situation, my sister could not sign that power of attorney mm-hmm. for healthcare and release my mom. She just couldn't. She said, well, she always comes back. But my mother kept saying, just let me go. Please let me go. Yeah. And we sat down as a family and she could not. I mean, it took her 3 days to sign that power of attorney because of her own heart. And so the importance of families talking together, mm-hmm. the importance of them coming together to make those decisions that they're not figuring out at the last minute, the decision can't be made or there's a disparity.
Right. Right. Yeah. In my career, and again, like I said, 92% of our families are coming to us in crisis mode. Things are not going well. Everything is a mess. I have yet to have a family come back to me and say, gosh, Annalee, we feel so confident about the decisions that we had to make in a crisis, right? Like you don't feel confident. You're just like, oh my gosh, I'm just doing the best I can. And that's why you really want to work with a professional. Let's just do it right and do it right from the start and have that peace of mind so that when those falls happen or if that next stroke happens, you're not going back to baseline of scramble, fear, chaos, and discombobulation of your life.
Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's just touch on the cost of caregiving.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome to Money Sense. My guest today is Annalee Krueger, and she is the owner and founder of CareRight, Inc. We've been working together over 15, 16, 17 years. It's been a long time on many different clients. Annalee has been on the radio show because what I find is this is information that is so personal. One of the most difficult decisions, and when we sit down with families, is often children don't know where their parents are financially, mm-hmm. and they'll come in and say, you know, we need to do this. And usually, Annalee, it truly is, it's under a crisis. We get that phone call. Mom fell. Mom had a stroke. Dad had a heart attack. Mom's going to be alone. We need all this care. What do we do? Where are they financially? And mm-hmm. I know that we deal with a lot of family meetings, and very often a client will say, I really don't know want my kids to know how much, mm-hmm. what my finances are. And those are all personal reasons. And it's not because they think their kids are going to take it or they're bad. But I grew up in a family like that, which mm-hmm. was, they didn't talk about anything.
Right.
We had no idea about their financial situation. The truth of it is that we'll sit down with families and you don't have to tell your kids about the financial picture, but you can assure them that there's enough money. Or in many cases, kids are worrying about, like, what do I do if my parents can't afford this? It's so much easier to talk to your kids and let them know where you are financially, mm-hmm. because then they can plan too. And we can do some estate planning around that to protect you or to protect a spouse. And there's so many rules around IRAs and how you're going to take up the money and what the cost of taking money out of those are tax-wise. So it really is important. But if you're not going to talk about it, to really have a good idea of what potential costs could be involved in caretakings and in being in any type of a facility.
One of the issues is because we're in the same boat, right? Families come to us in crisis. They have no idea what their parents have in place. Do they have long-term care insurance? The kids are like, I don't know. We've never talked about it. Mom and dad have never said what they have. They have no idea who the financial advisor is. So when families are starting the gosh, I don't think mom or dad are doing as well as we thought that they were kind of mindset or sidebar conversations as a family, then that's when they start realizing, you know, there's a lot of assumptions. A lot of consumers, a lot of people think that Medicare is going to pay for all care that parents need. And that is not true at all. And so when we think about the cost of care, it's out of pocket. It is out of your parents' savings account. It is out of their retirement account. You know, the landscape of senior care is much, much different since the pandemic. We have a massive, massive shortage of healthcare workers. And so when we're talking about when to bring in care, what are those safety triggers? Some of them are from what we started at the top of the podcast, losing weight, memory issues, falls, urinary tract infections, confusion, that kind of stuff. So when you're looking at home care, it can range anywhere from $21 to I have clients paying $60, $65 per hour, depending where they live in the country, because I'm nationwide. But most of these home care companies, because there's such a shortage of workers, you have to commit to a 4 or a 6 or an 8 or a 10 hour shift. And so that's what we help families all across the country understand based in their area what the landscape of senior care is so that they can start making informed decisions. So my clients who are wanting to age in place at home, they have 24/7 care. For one companion, it's roughly $30,000 per month, because if you're paying $30, $40, $50 an hour for 24/7 care, that's what their monthly invoices are. And so it's very expensive. So when parents say they want to age in place at home, that's great, but can they afford to do that? And what's that financial runway before they go broke? And Medicaid does not pay for 24/7 care in the house, right? So when we look at the landscape of senior care, you know, we've got to look at, you know, independent living, assisted living, memory care, who needs what type of care. If you have two aging parents, it's very likely they're both going to need two different types of care. Maybe mom needs assisted living and dad needs memory care. So parents have to financially, physically, behaviorally, and cognitively qualify to get into different care communities. If you look at a continuing care retirement community, a CCRC, that has all the different levels of care, those have massive entrance fees, hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that you have to pay up front before you even move in. And then you still have to pay monthly room and board. If there's two of you moving into the community at the same unit, there's a second person fee that can be anywhere from $500 to $2,500 per month. And so there's, from a financial perspective, these are conversations that families need to work with a professional on, because you don't know what you don't know. And so we also know that, you know, if you need a geriatric care manager who is going to manage the day-to-day, you know, set up medications, coordinate doctor's appointments, those can be, that's another usually $150, $200 an hour for a nurse to come out and do that type of work. So you have to add that to the budget as well. And then if you need a care advocate, those also range $100 to $200 to $300 an hour. Because of the landscape of senior care, if you want your loved one to have the best care possible, you have to have a whole team of these qualified healthcare workers who know what they're doing. And all of that comes at a price tag. And long-term care insurance, even the most Cadillac plans from 20, 30 years ago, aren't even going to come close to covering some of those costs.
What do you suggest to help families to navigate this? What is the steps that they should be looking at and taking?
Yeah.
And it isn't based on age. I guess we know we can take a look and say our parents are having healthcare concerns, but it happens on a dime. It turns
it
and
on
changes
a
on a dime.
And that's just it, you know, because a lot of times people are like, well, what is the age that we should start having these conversations? And I'm like, yesterday, because all of the people who had, or a year ago, because all of the people who had major strokes last Thursday didn't wake up thinking, oh, I think I'm going to have a major stroke today. And let's just really stress test the finances and stress test the family relationships to see who can bend backwards to make sure that our care needs are met. Nobody expects to have that stroke or that heart attack. No one expects to fall and hit their head on the kitchen sink, but those things happen to millions of people every single day. And adult kids get thrust into that and they're like, what do we do now? And so the first step is, again, leverage this podcast and say, look, family, there's a lot of these nuances to aging and caregiving and financial planning and aging planning that we just don't know as a family. And so, you know, when we do an aging plan, we do a care matrix. We outline the home care companies that are actually taking on new patients, because many of them are not. We outline different care communities based on what your parent can afford and what levels of care they offer and which ones have been cited for abuse and neglect, which is most of them. And so we have to start making informed decisions now and putting this plan in place, because you should never expect that you're going to get the best care outcomes when you choose to wait until you're in a crisis situation, right? So you got to start working on these issues now. If you're going to start trying to do this on your own, then start going out there and doing tours of these different care facilities, finding, you know, go two or three different times, go during a meal time, and just kind of get the feel for, like, what do they offer? We have a whole checklist that we go through for families if they're going to be a do-it-yourselfer, you know, checklist of what questions to ask, what to look for. But the reality is, these are major decisions that you're going to be making, and you really need to work with an actual professional who knows what they're doing.
Well, and you haven't mentioned it, but the grab-and-go binder.
The grab-and-go, yeah. We've touched on a little, you know, parts of it, like, you know, who's the financial advisor, who's your attorney. It's the grab-and-go is a massive checklist of everything that everyone over the age of 18 should have in order. What are your medications? What's your business succession plan? What's your estate documents? Who's the power of attorney? What are you going to do with Fluffy if you end up having a stroke? And who's going to take care of the cat or the dog? If you have a special needs loved one, there's a special needs section in the grab and go. And we encourage that the whole family does this as a family project, so that nobody feels singled out. Because the reality is, everybody needs to have their documents in order. The people that got T-boned, you know, in the intersection just trying to get home from work yesterday, probably never woke up thinking yesterday, I'm going to get T-boned and my wife of, you know, 5 years doesn't know anything about where our banking account is or who our financial advisor is. So we need to just be prepared for emergencies and what life has in order for us.
I'm just going to make one comment on that, is that what I find often is that we sort of make an assumption. My parents always made an assumption my mother was going to die first, yeah, because she had cancer, and my father died first. And we recognize that was the best thing that could have happened, because my father didn't know anything,
sure,
about,
yeah,
anything. And if my, yeah, mother had died, my father would have been almost helpless, like a turtle on his back in terms of what to do. So very often we think we know who's going to be the one that dies first. And mm-hmm. So if in that case, if your wife dies and she's the one that's been holding all the information, you know nothing. It's just having that communication, having those conversations, coming together as a family or as a husband and wife, and finding someone that you can trust that will hold that information with you. My guest today is Annalee Krueger. She is the owner and founder of CareRight, Inc., and you can contact her at carerightinc.com. That'll help you with a 30-minute consult. On LinkedIn, you can reach her as well. And Annalee, it's always such a pleasure to meet with you.
And it always goes so fast.
I know it does. I know it does. But I just want to thank everybody for listening. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. And please go to our webpage, ellenbecker.com. Share this with your family. Make that commitment for the new year that you're going to really come together as a family to look at some of these issues. Annalee, thank you so much, and have a great week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.